I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
To the fans, we are sorry for the upset we are about to cause. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, 5th of January. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Russell.
So it's Wednesday, and I thought it would be a good way to start to just go around the table and apologise for anything you feel you've not done correctly this week, brass, or indeed in your life. Feel free, open up.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to do. It's going to be one big load of bloodletting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Time to share.
This is the way of it now, isn't it? We just apologise constantly.
Well, Jim, you must have plenty of things.
Yeah, not that I feel comfortable talking about. Okay. On air.
Don't you think it's really an expression of Romelu Lukaku's total Britishness?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
You have to apologise for loads of things that, you know.
Yeah.
He's come home. He's made his way in Chelsea. What we're talking about here is Romelu Lukaku's quite extraordinary piece to camera about his terrible behaviour in being in an interview about into a 30-minute interview, no less, Brass. Were you surprised he was able to string it out that long?
It did feel a little bit like hostage propaganda, didn't it? And I don't know. Some would suggest it's made it worse.
Look, there's just a brief summary. I know we talked about it on Query Monday, but the deal was he went off and did an interview 3 weeks ago. Mainly, it seemed to have been as an attempt to build bridges with Inter fans that he felt he'd hurt by leaving in this abrupt way due to Inter not having any money or not having enough money. Seems like you should be building fans bridges with the fans that you've got right now, probably.
Yeah, I do think like it's funny that even Tuchel has said that it's, you know, been made out to be more than it is, and I think it has been made out to be more than it is. But then this
whole original interview,
yeah,
but actually, Jim, this moment now could not be made to be more than it is, could it? Because this really is the death of football moment, because this is the moment where it went from being the bloody sorry I missed a penalty, sorry I smiled when I was chatting to a mate on the opposition, sorry we go again, Manchester United, to people staring down the barrel of the camera doing propaganda videos.
Yeah, it reminds me of that Nick Clegg video when he apologised for the Lib Dems changing their stance on tuition fees. It's just like, what, this has come out of nowhere. It's all, what hell? But yeah, it's exactly what you're talking about. It's this culture of apologising for like getting sent off and missing penalties and all these things. It's like, I don't think anyone more than the most sort of hysterical internet thicko fan actually needs that.
We shouldn't
pander to that. And it just keeps the story going, doesn't it? I think it could have been something that was just like Tuchel played it down a lot, and I think Tuchel is the person.
Did he?
He seems to have
the reverse of playing it down.
Initially, he didn't, and he could have quashed it, as we said on Monday's ramble. He could have quashed it and stopped it from being a thing.
The question is, can you play something down once you've played it up?
But I think in his initial response
that
to
is
it,
the question.
He obviously did say that, look, this isn't ideal, etc., etc. But I think the key takeaway from within it was that, like, he himself said, I think there's been a bit, the reaction to it has been a bit stronger than I expected. And
he said that eventually,
didn't he? Why don't you not sort of make him do this weird grovelling apology to the camera? Why don't you, like, now you've said that, why don't you have that as the last word?
But that assumes that Thomas Tuchel is in control of everything that happens at Chelsea. He's just the coach, which I think is the thing, really. The club have considered it important. Someone at the club has considered it important.
Yeah. Key thing, though, are they in your head, Spurs fan?
Oh.
Is this what you're thinking about? Is he going to absolutely beast you tonight?
Okay, so tonight
is that what this is all really about? Is it lulling you guys into a false sense of security?
Oh, good point. I hadn't considered it like that. A false sense of security. I think
don't even mark Lukaku. He doesn't want to be there.
I think it's impossible for Spurs fans to feel any sense of security, false or otherwise. but yeah, so tonight's Carabao Cup semi-final, the first of the semi-finals. Questions were about we'll talk about the semi-final tomorrow because Liverpool don't want it to go ahead. But yes, so. I mean, I actually warmed up for tonight by reading an article in The Athletic called Chelsea Are a Shadow of Their Former Selves, or words to that effect. But that actually just made me feel more scared.
Yeah, they're relentless in that competition.
Going back to that, Jim, do we think this is all an engineered situation to bring the best out of Lukaku?
Maybe.
Perhaps, which Lukaku himself is complicit. Because going back, every time I read the words Sky Italia here.
Yeah.
All I think of is Lukaku just, you know, doing a Brendan Rodgers and congratulating himself on speaking such great Italian. I mean, it's possible, right?
There's just so many layers.
So many layers.
Everyone's a winner.
Like a big Lukaku onion. but yeah, I mean, I know the fact that we're talking about it now, it plays into what I'm talking about, but it's just. In a month, this will seem ridiculous, right? It's just such a
non-story. Oh, it seems ridiculous now.
No, yeah. Because in a month, people will be apologising with the special videos for every single thing, for like pushing ahead of one another in the canteen.
I apologise that my pass completion was under 100%. Like that, yeah.
They'll be apologising to the board and to the manager.
He did apologise to the board,
didn't
he, Lukaku?
Of course he fucking did.
They made him apologise to everyone. He's probably like individually apologising to ball boys now.
Yeah.
I would like to see, just to level it up before this game tonight, maybe Harry Kane to release an apology about being offside for that goal at Southampton that didn't count. I mean, they could have won that game. Let's be honest. They could have won that game. He's cost his team there.
Apologise to VAR for having to do work.
Yes.
If I was just a bit more clear in my positioning, then they wouldn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I see it happening. Well, let me throw that question back at you, Jim Campbell. Do you think Spurs fans should be feeling terrified?
Yeah, I think Chelsea in a semi-final is always annoying, isn't it? Because they're so relentlessly good. So, yeah, why not?
All right, then.
I mean, that almost certainly will give you an advantage now, just because I've put some sort of hex on it.
Yeah, incremental marginal gains, fine. Antonio Conte says he's not out for revenge on his first return to Stamford Bridge since managing Chelsea, and said he would be emotional returning to the club, hopefully not too emotional.
He doesn't feel like a revenge type guy, does he?
Not in those photos that Spurs released of him looking like he had a Christmas album out.
I think for revenge to happen, you need to have been wronged in the first place. And I think if you wrong Antonio Conte, you suffer the consequences of that immediately.
Yes.
So there's no space for revenge.
Yes.
Ah, okay. No, I think revenge. Really, I think revenge can happen straight away, can't it?
But looking into this game,
it's a bet. Oh, but it's a dish best served
cold.
Cold.
How much does he lend Spurs genuine aura? I think they're getting
massively,
there. I think
massively.
They're getting there, definitely.
Yeah, I think that
really matters in an occasion like this, actually.
Yeah, and I don't think it will.
In case
affect
you missed it, we
Chelsea.
Actually got to the final of the Carabao Cup last season
did,
as well.
Yeah.
So I think if anyone's got an aura,
is
it's
that what you're drinking
extra
out of at the moment? That, like, you're not drinking out of that mug at the moment.
No, I have smashed it.
yeah, and also you've won the competition recently, haven't you? By your standards, in 2008.
Clarification. Sorry, we were saying something useful for a change.
Yeah, sorry,
when you started
sorry.
That sentence, I was like, are we talking Alan Nielsen or are we talking Jonathan Woodgate?
You're such knobs.
I'm just asking. Just for historical completion.
Snarkiness aside, though, I think Andy makes a really good point, though. Conte does add a huge weight of a bit of a fear factor. Spurs are clearly a lot better under him. Look back on track, seem to be playing football they're more comfortable with. And going into the game, how do you feel about it, Kate? Because obviously Chelsea is a daunting opponent for anyone in the semi-final because they are so machine-like at getting through those games. But, I mean, what do you think? How do you expect this to go?
The reason previews are, like, obviously kind of mad,
yeah,
and we never do them, is because there's just so many, you can just pick any number of different elements to make whatever argument you want to make about a game. So, yes, you're absolutely right that having Conte there does feel like some sort of Patronus. But also, if you look, you know, we beat them on penalties last season in this. Does that matter? No, it fucking doesn't. Of course, yeah, it doesn't matter. It has absolutely, I mean, but in your heart, you're like, well, we know how to deal with all of this.
Yeah.
And if that should come about, then you'll feel totally confident and fine.
Yeah.
There's also this unknown element of COVID as well, of course, which means it's even more difficult to figure out what the hell's going on. And that has been used as an argument for why Chelsea was struggling, mainly by Tuchel, endlessly, despite his extraordinary depth of squad.
Yeah. There's also a point as well, this season more than any, because of the fixture pile-up, you get people going, oh, do we really need a two-legged Carabao Cup semi-final? It's a bit of an anomaly. It's a bit of a strange thing to have just one round as two legs. But then it comes around and you're like, oh, I kind of do love it, though.
Yeah,
I kind of do love it.
In terms of need, I think both of these clubs really need this at the moment, which I think makes it really, really
do you, because of the
exciting
run of form of Chelsea?
Well, I just, yeah, I think it is important. I think Chelsea getting knocked out at this stage would feed into that narrative of it all falling apart. And just as
the narrative that you've been plugging since day one.
Thank you very much. And it's funny, a lot of people got in touch with me to say about, here it comes, here it
yeah
comes.
To congratulate
you. A bit early in the schedule, is it not, as well?
Oh, no, I think just about on schedule. But I don't think it's too cool. That's a different story. But I don't know. I think Chelsea do really need this at the moment. And I think it's always been a really important competition to Chelsea, right going back to the time when Mourinho won it in his first season against Liverpool.
It's all silverware. You don't have to bloody tell me that.
Yeah, but also as well.
No, I wasn't. I specifically wasn't.
The momentum you get from getting into a final is huge as well. Even if it does come at a physical cost when your players are playing a lot of games.
But everything comes at a physical cost at this point.
Yeah,
it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The whole Chelsea argument, right, is that they played 9 games in December because they've, you know, been in all the competitions that they're involved in. So actually, to argue with your point, perhaps it would be quite good for Chelsea to be knocked out. Just an idea I'm floating. Liverpool have submitted a request for the game tomorrow, so the second of these semi-finals against Arsenal, to be postponed due to injuries and COVID. And just before we came on, I think Pep Linders has tested positive, or it was reported that he's tested positive for COVID. I mean, we can speculate about whether this will go ahead or not. I don't know how useful that is. What do you think about the game generally?
Well, I'm hoping it goes ahead for selfish reasons, because I want to go to the game. But obviously, if people's health and and physical well-being is under threat, then that shouldn't be the case. But I feel it's an interesting one because Liverpool is so much better than Arsenal and have shown that in the league this season. But I mean, you don't know what lineup's going to be out there, so it could be a little bit of a leveler, and having the first game at home is interesting. I think Arsenal will look at this as an opportunity to perhaps actually sort of express themselves a bit and test themselves again. I think obviously getting to the final of a cup competition is great, but I think everything with Arsenal at the moment is under the context of them being a work in progress. So it feels like a season where there's a lot more kind of leeway for failure, as long as that failure shows progression, as the Man City game did. You know, it was such a bizarre reaction afterwards, and a really welcome one that people just
people
still
understood
so positive.
You could have
exactly.
You could have won it, and you played well. Yeah,
I'm approaching this with a similar expectation actually. But we'll see.
Yeah. In terms of this cup, are you not worried that Lacazette scores the winner in the final, gets a massive new contract, and then you get lumbered with him forever?
I don't know. There are worse players to be lumbered with.
That is true. That is true.
And also, I don't know how you're dealing with this, Kate, but we are ignoring the fact that there could be a North London derby in a cup final, and I don't know if I could.
Oh my God.
Stand it.
I hadn't even.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, but to be honest, look, we just take it one day at a time.
Exactly.
One game at a time. It's only the first leg. We'll deal with it when we have to. On the silverware front, nice news, of course, that Spurs haven't won anything since 2008. But
not news, is it?
Not really news, Eric. But the news that I'm about to introduce is that Eric Lamela, former Spurs player, now of Sevilla, is up for Puskás goal of the season.
Yeah.
For that, the Rabona against Arsenal.
Nutmeg Rabona.
Sorry. As if I'm trying to play it down. Interesting, I was looking at the criteria for the goal. It says something about fair play. In the sort of list of things
so
about
you're
it.
You're saying it should be chalked off because he was sent off in the same game.
He was sent off in the
but
same
isn't
game.
It, shouldn't it just
isn't
be
that
the...
fascinating?
I'm so surprised that that's...
I wonder if they mean fair play
within the
context of the goal.
Like you can't, punch someone and then do an overhead kick. Like, because, I think that it's got to be purely about the aesthetic of the goal, right? It shouldn't matter the context around
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
It's like it's like one of those no context Twitter accounts, but actually meaningful in this point.
Well, in that case, I feel bad adding context in that it's clearly the third best of those three goals.
Oh.
Ooh. The Schick one is spectacular, isn't it?
Right, yeah, because
of the technique
and in the European
unreal.
Championship.
Oh, some heartwarming news also, I suppose, loosely connected to Tottenham. On Danish TV, did you see the interview that Christian Eriksen did about his... I mean, he said his goal is to see if he can make the 2022 Qatar World Cup
not?
As his recovery continues.
It's a great thing for him to have in mind, isn't it? What an excellent sort of thing to be aiming at. I'm sure we're all desperate to see him back on a pitch as soon as possible, as soon as that is, you know, safe for him to be so.
Yeah, well, his agent has said, Martin Sheets says, first of all, he says returning to England would seem like a homecoming because he played 6.5 seasons at Spurs.
Isn't it remarkable that this news has been out for almost a day and he's not been linked with that as well to Newcastle United yet?
Oh my God, yeah.
Are you doing that now? Is this a wicked
what a journalistic oversight by everyone.
So the deal, but they say that he's physically fine. The thing about why he's had to leave Inter is that in Serie A, you're not allowed to play with the kind of, I'm not sure what the technical term it is, but ICD, the
pacemaker.
Defibrillator thing that he's had put into his body. And specifically in Serie A, that's the deal. Whereas in the Premier League, it's not the case. So he could perfectly legally or realistically come and play in the Premier League. Other clubs are available. Time to get to a break. We'll come back and talk about the Super League.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Now, a well-placed source has told me that you celebrated the win over Borussia Dortmund in the dressing room by doing an impression of Chris Kamara. Is that right?
Lambaleba Jeff. Lambaleba Jeff.
Truly unbelievable. Welcome Wonderful. Back to the Football Ramble with me, Jim, and Andy in your ears. Today it's Wednesday. That is the day that it is. So it's now time for Pep Talks.
We are so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy for them.
We are so happy. I'm so happy, believe me.
We are so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Wait! Drink water and relax!
Ah, Pep. Scott Spivak has been in touch. He says, it is the one and only true Spiv here.
What?
Thanks for showing me my true calling after hearing the word on the show a lot recently and looking it up. It's a wonderful word. This last year, I became a referee at local youth level here in California. I really enjoy it and think I would like to work towards becoming a professional. What are some of the steps I should take and skills to work on in order to continue to hone my ability to administer a fair and exciting match?
Now, I expect we can go down many routes with this particular question. Thanks for sending it in, Scott. So let's have some fun with it, obviously.
Let's go down the fun
route.
But
I do want to say how annoyed I am at the moment about how referees are being treated. So don't be put off, Scott, by the terrible stuff you see in the Premier League. Because I did a chat with Stuart Atwell last week. And we put it, you know, like, because people say they're interested to hear from referees and all this yada, yada, yada stuff. And we put it on the internet. And then there was obviously the Arsenal game where he officiated in many ways correctly.
Are they interested to hear from referees, these people? Really?
No, they are not.
Are they interested to hear referees go, I'm really sorry I let your club down?
Interested to bloody abuse them. So just because he obviously doesn't have a Twitter handle, but just because I was on this bloody tweet, abuse, like, get Stuart Cantwell out of our game. I'm like,
out of our game.
Whose game? So, sorry, that was a side point, Scott. Don't listen to any. Maybe just do the plus whatever 30 seconds it is on that. If your dream is to come and work in the Premier League, you know, we'll support you.
I mean, going down a different route from that, I think you want to have a flourish as you book someone, right?
This is really important. If you want to go to the top level, Spiv, what's really, really important is to have some sort of celebrity tendencies. There needs to be flourish, as Jim
says. Dean as our model.
If you look up that Twitter account, Celebrity Refs, you need to have presence beyond the decisions. It's very, very important.
How about a Cristiano Ronaldo celebration as you give a red card?
Ooh.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, Mike Dean once said off your pop, didn't he? So even that is not as ostentatious. Off your pop, I think you've got to get the card out of your pocket in one motion.
Very difficult, though.
Yeah, it is very difficult. I think it's the sort of thing you probably have to practice.
I wonder if you could get some sort of, like, bit of ribbon or something and attach it underneath the card.
I think the thing is, like, Spider-Man obviously is enjoying a bit of a renaissance with the Tom Holland films at the moment. I think if you could, because you can get Nerf guns that, like, sort of like pop Nerf bullets out of your wrist, can't you, like the webs? So if you could pop the cards out of your wrists, that would be amazing.
That would be good. Although, does someone have to catch it? Because wherever it lands is like, you might have to, like, now you run over that and look at what colour it is.
No player wants to feel complicit with a referee.
Yeah, exactly.
Or someone from the opposition, obviously.
And what if you then if it just lands near someone and they get it, you could look a bit silly, couldn't you?
You could.
If you were signing it.
But this is why you've got to practice this stuff. You've got to get really, really good
at it. Shoot it at them.
So your card technique, I think, Spiv, is I think, very, very important. So practice your card technique. Try and get the cards out of your pocket in just one smooth motion to the point where it becomes automatic. You don't even think about it.
Don't join
Twitter.
If
you think about these things, you can't do it. Yeah, don't join Twitter.
And good luck to you.
Yeah. And good luck
join Twitter.
Selling
it's a gap
contraband
in the
out of your car if you are really a spiv.
Andy's got one as well, but it's a secret email.
It is. It's anonymous. I need help with a stag do for my brother. Ah, oh, that's why it's anonymous. On the off chance that he's listening, please keep me anonymous for now. I'm the best man for his wedding, and the groomsman and I are looking for potential locations. We've narrowed it down to Munich, as that weekend sees Bayern take on Dortmund, which would be something to remember or to forget if you play for Dortmund. What else would you recommend for us to get up to in this great city?
I've not been to Munich.
Awesome.
What would you are you familiar with it?
I went with my triathlon pals. As we remember, no. And it was great.
What's your advice? Drink a lot of water.
Yes.
Yeah. And, great advice.
Go to bed early. Yeah. Well, the Olympic Stadion is where the event was. So
the Olympic Stadion and everything around it is amazing. It's worth a look.
Yeah,
obviously,
it really
it's got
is.
Some historical resonance as well. Apart from that, obviously, beer gardens, but you'll have that covered.
Yeah, I've been to Berlin. And I did enjoy how you can kind of get involved in the local culture by drinking beer and eating sausages. So
yes.
For a stag, I don't think you're going to struggle to find stuff to do.
Not the white, what is those white sausages? Don't eat those. They sort of look like they've died. What ones are those?
Like Weisswurst.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of those.
Yeah.
Bockwurst are the one, I think.
Yeah, so a Weisswurst, they're the kind of ones maybe that's the elite level, that shows you've really assimilated if you're into that.
Yeah, I think as well, obviously you'll be thinking of costumes and whatnot. I would suggest what's a happy compromise that involves no one getting humiliated is when you get off the metro, the U-Bahn at Fruchtmanning, which is where the stadium is, and you have this little walk up towards the stadium. You go up the stairs and there's a stall selling knockoff scarves and what have you at the top. And there's always one, at least one model that is for Uli Hoeneß. And it says, Uli, du is the best man. And so really, I think as the best man, you need to be wearing one of those.
Right, so and you also need to
get... And you need to, like, obviously write over Uli with your own name.
Or, well, we don't have...
Will an armist fit in a scarf? I don't know.
We don't have his name, this guy.
Yes.
Or we're keeping it secret from the listeners.
Bring a sticker with your name on.
No, I think he should change his name to Uli.
Maybe he's already called that.
That's true. But either way, that, you know, work your way into the scarf rather than the other way around. If the mountain won't come to Muhammad, etc. Thanks so much for sending these ones in, guys. Keep them coming. Good luck with the stag do, Uli. If you've got any questions for us, however bizarre, send them in every week. We'll get to them on Wednesdays. It's show@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble. Now, friends, it's time to get to the most super of the super football discussions. It is the Super League. It's back, baby. It's only got three teams in it, but they are convinced that 2022 is their year. Real Madrid, Barcelona and Juventus will play in a three-legged tie for the rest of time.
Yeah.
I don't think that's their
all
plan,
at once.
Jim.
See, that I would watch, actually, if it was just the three of them.
We've been trying to push three-sided football
for a long
since
time.
Since the start of the ramble.
This is the time, guys.
It feels very sort of something that 10-year-olds would do at, like, goals or power league, wouldn't it? You know, winner stays on and then the third team comes on.
Just give it up, guys. Just give it up.
Well, clearly, we feel that. And, I so well remember that bloody show, the Monday show after the news broke on the Sunday that football was being gutted.
What I think is hilarious, though, if you're the competitors of these three teams or perceived competitors of these three teams, I think you look at this now and think, why would we give them what they want? Because what they keep showing us is how desperate they are for it. All this project has really done is outed them as incompetently run.
Absolutely. And it just sounds like a death rattle, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean...
like the suspension of disbelief at Barcelona over their current state. I mean, we'll come to that in a moment. But they just don't want to believe it, do they?
No, they don't. Well, this is it. Yeah, they're not accepting the reality that's in front of them. And it's a pure status thing. It's like, this doesn't happen to us. We are too. It's three clubs you think they're too big to fail. So they're trying to just change the terms in which they compete.
It's like if you've got no money and you go into a pub and order a really expensive bottle of champagne. And of course, no one buys champagne in the pub. And then when your card gets rejected, you go, try it again. Try it again. I want a different member of bar staff and I want you to rub the little magnetic strip against your jeans.
Yeah. Can you stop sipping that while we do this, sir? Absolutely not.
Well, the steps that they, the equivalent step that they've taken, Brass, is that they have hired a PR firm called Flint.
And they can't be any worse than the last one.
I love how when clubs do this, they hire a PR firm to like clean up their image and they announce that they've hired a PR firm to clean up their image. Surely that is immediately terrible PR.
Yes, yes.
They're set to engage in a major campaign. I don't think this is taken from a press release. This is an assessment, which will portray UEFA as an abusive monopoly whilst portraying the Super League plans as the only alternative that can save the sport.
Why do we know this? Do you know what I mean? Surely that should be an internal document where that's what they set out their nefarious plan.
Does football need saving?
It's from the Super League. Yeah. Yeah.
Does it need saving by Barcelona and Juventus? I think the answer to that is a pretty short one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like shorter than yes.
So how do you see this playing out then? I mean, apart from the fact that this is case closed, Flint's been hired. They're made of stern stuff. And we're going to be completely persuaded in about 3 or 4 months that Super League is going to save football.
I do think that... there's a concern, isn't there, when institutions are this big, you do think, oh, they think they're too big to fail. Maybe they actually are. Maybe they will get what they want. And that's the worry that I guess the whole point of this PR campaign is to prey on, is to think, yeah, just so you gradually accept more and more stuff. But I do think it will fall flat on its face. And I think they will quietly slink off and stop talking about it eventually. But I think they've got one last hurrah of making themselves look like absolute idiots.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right, Jim. But we're still going to be having this conversation, I think, in 10, 15 years' time. Not this specific conversation. I mean, we are leaving and new people are coming in for tomorrow's ramble. Don't worry, listeners. But I just think that there needs to be, if there wasn't the financial desperation at those clubs at the moment, and particularly at Barcelona and Juventus, there would be a sense of, let's take a step back and we'll go at it again in 5 years, or we'll go at it again in 10 years, but they're not in the financial position to do that. And of course, this is a terrible position to negotiate, not only with fans, but with the other clubs of the level that are going to make it an event with.
Yeah. They said the document that they've put together is entitled Paving the Way to the Super League, Strategies for Reconstruction, the Restart, and the Triumph.
Okay, you see, just imagine the state of the meeting when they came up with that. All eating sushi off of thing. iPads, like proper like... proper like Google dickheads. None of them like football.
I like these worlds where everyone's still doing stuff with PowerPoint. Is that what it's like out in corporate life?
If I wanted to know what PowerPoint was like, I wouldn't be working here.
No, great point. Former PSG board member Louis Ferrer has lifted the curtain on how the club signed Kylian Mbappe last week, speaking about strategies, successful strategies. They explained why they're going to have a tough time keeping him at the club. Here's what he said. Antonio Enrique and I went to Mbappe's house to convince him to sign for PSG. I had to go to the bathroom. And even in the bathroom, there were so many pictures of Madrid. I called Antonio, go into the bathroom, see what's there.
Does it that mean he rang him? From the bathroom. Come in this.
I'm in Kylian Mbappe's toilet.
He's absolutely mad in here.
It's shit.
I think I've got to leave. He's insane. He's frightening. I mean, is it a tribute to have pictures of things you like in your bathroom?
Well, it's normally where, you know, you like school photos and stuff go, isn't it?
Is it?
Well,
I don't have any photos in my bathroom.
Oh, okay. Brass.
That's weird, yeah, right? Photos in your bathroom.
I've got a picture of a dodo in my bathroom.
Really?
Mm.
Okay.
I don't know if that's normal. You're going to start telling me yourself, oh yeah, and that's where the alpaca lives. All right. I don't know whether it is or not. I also think it's interesting. I like the way that what he's playing out here, because you know how like in detective stuff, you get invited into a suspect's house in like stories. And so you slip off to the bathroom to see what other like detection you can do. So yes, it feels like that's actually what he's been up
to. Well, the toilet is normally where you keep either trophies that you don't really care about. I don't know, smash hits, poll winner, 1989.
When did you win that? How many discarded awards have you got in your bathroom?
Or there's like a jocular sort of family / children photo. So I'm presuming the photo would have been, you know,
this is my family.
10-year-old Killian,
yeah,
on like the body of Cristiano Ronaldo or something like that.
Right.
It's quite sweet, isn't it? It reminds you that footballers are, that they all start as football fans.
Yeah. Keeping it with the Super League situation a bit, to your point about Barca being fucked. Joe Laporta says that everybody in the world should get ready as we're back as big players in the market. Barca are back, baby. I don't think.
Was he screaming that from a balcony in his dressing gown? It just sounds, what, have they just found €1.5 billion somewhere?
Yeah, 1.35, Jim.
Sorry. If they're back, they're going to spend money, right? So, you know.
That's their debt. That.
Well, they'll spend it pretty quickly. I think that's clear. Yeah.
He says they're in the mix for Erling Haaland. How?
This is the sort of stuff I'm talking about, though. I'm scared. Have they struck oil under the new camp or something? It's like, what's going on here?
You know, you're saying too big to fail.
Exactly.
The debt is so big.
It's so big.
It will cost a lot of people if something happens to them.
It's actually, look, I'm just looking at this again. 4 months ago, Joe Laporta said they had €1.35 billion debt. But you might be right, Jim, because they had to have a bank loan to sign Ferran Torres, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
So and it must be bigger.
They're thinking, let's have another bank loan to sign. Yeah. You know, the Erling Haaland fee isn't going to be that big. It's just about convincing him to come.
Yeah.
And then it's just about paying Mino Raiola, which is another big chunk onto that debt, and paying him whatever heinous wages he is going to command as well.
Yeah.
Now, that is the problem with signing Haaland. I mean, we'll talk about this in greater depth on OTC. But the problem is, as you say, they've signed Ferran Torres. They haven't registered him yet.
No, because they can't.
They've got to get people off the wage bill. How many people would you have to get off the wage bill to play Erling Haaland? I mean, yeah. I know they love an academy player and they've got lots of fine young academy players who are coming through at the moment, but I don't think Haaland's signing up to play on a five-a-side team, is he?
Maybe they just won't have any other staff other than the manager. And they'll just do everything.
There's going to be the man who unlocks the main gates and 11 players.
Yeah. It's going to be like an old school, like Sunday league managers doing absolutely everything.
Yes.
And let's not forget, Torres has also taken a pay cut in addition to this, the wages that he can't be paid yet.
But everybody in the world, everybody in the world should get ready, though.
Oh. Yeah.
I know that sounds bad.
Cash in hand. Christ, isn't it?
I would love to get paid cash in hand.
I know that's like a lower league thing that goes down, but you didn't think that was happening at Barca.
Turning up to the bank every week with your wheelbarrow. Yeah. Going, I'd like to pay this in, please.
Shoveling it into your boot after every game.
Oh, my goodness. In news that UEFA perhaps is what were the Super League calling them? A abusive monopoly. They want to play the Euros every 2 years if the World Cup is going to be every 2 years as well. So that's good. And FIFA have ordered a feasibility study to find out if you can play a biannual World Cup. Do you think the FIFA feasibility study to find out if you can play a World Cup every 2 years has found out that you can play a World Cup every 2 years, Jim and Andy?
I'm going to say yes. I'm also going to say I'm very much looking forward to the player uprising, which is going to come.
Okay.
And I'm thinking the incredible calm, going back to the beginning, the incredible calm that Romelu Lukaku had on that video is clearly plotting something. No one's that calm in real life. No one.
Interesting, because Tuchel did say
that. Maybe he's going to lead it. Maybe he's going to lead the uprising.
Their talks were calm. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just the vibe.
The idea of both of them being calm is a bit creepy, actually, isn't it?
I mean, the idea, it's funny, isn't it, that Infantino is now talking about the Euros also taking place every 2 years, because initially UEFA were like, it's an outrage to sort of expect there to be a World Cup every 2 years. And that now it's like, well, you know what? Let's just go all in, because they're claiming it will actually result in fewer international games overall, and that's why it makes sense and it will work. But it's essentially you cannot have an international tournament every summer. You just it's the strain the players are under already is so clear, and it's I can't believe that every time a situation like this is clearly getting worse, the powers that be, the people that have the responsibility to look after these players, add more on top. It just seems so backward.
The thing that does my head in as well, it seems to lean on people responding, well, try doing a proper job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Don't you realise that with your proper job and the money you earn for your proper job, you will be paying more money for a more frequent occurrence of an inferior product?
Yeah.
It's just true. Just get that. Just get that bit of it, even if you don't care about the player's welfare.
FIFA claim it will make something like $3.3 billion, but I think UEFA have said they'll lose something like $6.2 billion in various like TV rights and things to do with the domestic game and blah blah blah. And they're just throwing the idea of money at each other. And
seems like they're using the same mathematicians who are figuring out how much debt Barcelona are in. Right?
Yeah, maybe you hit on something, Jim, about get rid of all the administrative stuff and just let the players do it.
Just the guy with the key for the gate.
I reckon, you know, whoever's not playing, you know, it could be Jorginho. I trust him to hold the main broadcast camera. Maybe the players could be doing the production.
Yeah, I think Jorginho could do the books as well quite easily.
Yeah.
You guys will be astonished to hear that this is not the fact that we're now going to have a Euros every 2 years and a World Cup every 2 years in amongst various other bits and bobs is not the biggest international / FIFA story this week. No. There's yet bigger news. Hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen. Sepp Blatter is back on Twitter. He is back. And he's back with a bang. Would you like to hear his most recent tweet?
Yes,
his return tweet, his new greatest hit. Hello, my friends all over the world. I'm back in capital B business, wishing you a very happy 2022. Stay healthy and be happy. 3! Hashtag 2022. Hashtag happy new year. How does that make you feel?
Amazing.
Yeah. Like, there is fun to be had this year if Sepp's throwing his weight around again. He just will not shrink into the darkness, will he? He's plotting something. Who knows what it is? It will be spectacular, or at the very least, very silly.
Is back in business our new normal phrase that's been kidnapped by football?
The capitalised B in business is telling, though, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it?
B for
Blatter, B for business.
He's cooking something. Who knows what it is?
He's currently awaiting trial after being charged for fraud in November. You can't actually tweet from the courtroom, I don't think. So this could be lining up for some really quite hilarious consequences.
Yeah. Maybe starting his own court and find himself innocent. Who knows?
Welcome back, big old Seppo. If you want more analysis on everything that Europe has got to throw at you and also some transfer activity on the continent, look no further than the show they call On the Continent is out Thursday afternoon. Andy Dunn, joined by Lars Sivertsen and his dog. Get over to Football Ramble Presents for that one. Can't wait, Brass.
You've trailed the dog. I really hope the dog's turning up now. Mm. Lars says a lot of people are going to feel very let down.
Lars says that it's difficult to bring the dog in because she's quite needy, so she'd just sit outside and would be fine for most of the show, but maybe like towards the end she'd start coming in and having a chat. But there is a spare microphone, so...
A bit of scratching on the door, I think, would add something to it, maybe.
All right. Yeah. You heard it here first. That's a tease of the century, that one. Guys, nice to see you. Time
you
to get
too.
Out of here, I think. Say goodbye to the listeners, Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye to the listeners, Brass.
Goodbye.
You're back tomorrow, aren't you, with Jules and Luke. And I hope you'll be back as well, dear listeners. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.